Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, I'm Jordan Rogers.
And I'm Luke Rogers.
And we're the hosts of Sports Related.
And we're brothers. We're going to bring the thunder. You're going to leave smarter. We're going to drop mind grenades. We're going to carpet bomb your brain with sports and culture. And if you're a guy, you're going to get in touch with your feminine side. If you're a girl, you're going to like sports. If you already like sports, you're going to know how to talk about sports. Even if you don't like sports, you're going to learn how to talk about sports. We're going to bring it, and we're going to bring it hard.
You're going to get to know us a little bit, too. The embarrassing background stories. Luke pooping his pants as a grown adult.
Yep.
It happened. I'll share it.
It's not a good story.
But join us, because we're going to give you something to take away every week. Remember to download new episodes every Friday at the Podcast One app, or subscribe to Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in to another CarCast. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
This is our favorite episode of the year. We do our recap of the Monterey weekend.
Yeah. What a great event.
Yeah, it's a great event. Filled with great guys and great fans and all that. Although a little controversy brewing.
Is there
a brewing of the controversy? My race suit is not had been found, and it was so. Here's where
he said, she said thing.
Well, no, not yet. Here's what happened. What happened was we were working a little at the track on Sunday and caught up in some controversy. We'll get into maybe a little bit later. And we were trying to get back to L.A. I had a mandate from Lynette that Sonny, who had missed the first week of school, needed to come back and get home at a decent hour, because then Monday would be his first school day that he would actually attend. Yeah. So, oh, his tooth. Yeah, keeping the tooth. Gotta write that down. Sonny's tooth.
No, we got that in the notes.
Oh,
Sonny's tooth.
Good job, Max Pata. So, we kind of hightailed it out of the track about 4:30 or so, and my gear was left behind for Rob to collect, helmet and long johns and everything else.
Yeah.
When he bundled up the suitcase, you know, the Sparco thing with the wheels on it and all the different compartments, the race gear suitcase, he did not miss a sock or long john or the hood or the shoes or anything, but he did miss the one big red item that I'm apt to wear on the track, which is the fire suit.
Okay. Now,
To be fair to Rob, it wasn't with the other stuff. It was hanging with the fire suits in a cabinet. So it's a little out of sight, out of mind, but I would say if you're packing up the equipment and you miss the biggest item on the list, that you may want to internalize that to some degree.
Did he pack up the stuff? Because when we went to the trailer, Ken from Canepa handed us the bags and said, "We have your stuff." Mm-hmm. And then you said, I was standing there, you said, My long johns or something were hanging, and he goes, "We got all that."
All right. Well, that case, then it's not Rob's fault, although Rob sort of said it to me, like, "I packed your stuff up," or "I got your stuff," or whatever it is. Maybe he made a mistake, which is trying to get a little credit.
Yeah.
And now he is going to get credit. So they said they packed it all up, or Rob said he packed it all up, or Ken Dobson over there said he packed it all up, and they gave us the suitcase, and then we gave it to Rob?
Rob was standing with us.
Oh, okay.
He was standing with us, and he was loading up, you know, he had the truck, the trailer, and he gave us the two bags, the roller bag and the helmet bag.
Right. Well, the suit wasn't in either one. And later on, when we got back to L.A., we had no bag, or we had no fire suit. So I said, "Where's the fire suit?" And Rob said he forgot it, but it should have probably just said Ken forgot it. And then we assumed it was just in the trailer, in the locker. And so I said, All right. Well, Tom was going back to Kenepa to go pick up the car in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So just have him hand it off to Tom, and that'll be fine. And then we contacted them, and they said, no, we handed it off, the fire suit, separately. Okay. And they said, who'd you hand it off to?
Yeah.
And he said,
just a fan.
Your cameraman. Now, we had two cameramen. We had two cameramen who were there the whole weekend.
Oh, technically, those are Nate's cameramen.
Right, but if you work for Kenepa, there are cameramen.
Yeah,
and you probably should have been familiar with them because they were there for the last 3 days, hanging around your pit.
Yeah, eating your lunch.
Yeah, they would look familiar to you.
Yeah,
I just spoke to the cameramen 10 minutes ago, and both of them said we never got anything handed to us.
Okay.
So now somebody was handed the suit. It wasn't anybody on our end. They're evidently don't have it on their end, and my cameramen don't know what they're talking about.
Does Charles have it? Does Nate have it? Those are the two missing guys, right?
I contacted Nate. And Nate didn't know what I was talking about, but he contacted the camera guys, and they didn't know what I was talking about.
Okay.
And then there's Charles. But Charles loves to converse.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he was walking with us.
And if Charles had it, he would send you an email or do a something or have a something.
Yeah, he would.
And
he
I'm
would.
Not sure. So we'd have to look into it. But at this particular point, there may be some treachery afoot.
Maybe next year somebody's walking around with a Corolla suit on.
Well, I don't know, Max Pata. What's your? You were there. What's your take on this?
All the cameramen and Nate wasn't there on Sunday. He flew out Saturday night. So
Nate definitely can't have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charles is putzing around his house with it, like wearing it. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't fit any of us except for you. So there's not that.
No, I mean, is there some weirdo fan that just wanted to grab the suit and like had a few beers and went?
Yeah, but then it goes back to Ken at Kenepa not recognizing the guy, and we're assuming he recognized one of the camera guys, or it was just a guy with a lot of cameras.
And maybe wearing one of those orange vests that gets you out onto the hot pit or whatever it is. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, good thing you have 12 suits.
I like that suit.
I know. You like that. It's the one you wear all the time. You had your vintage patches put on.
Yeah. My Datsun patches on there.
It's easily identifiable, by the way, thief.
Yes. If you're listening. All right. So we went on out and we got ourselves a nice big BMW X5M.
Yeah, thanks to BMW and our friends at Rolls-Royce.
That was pretty awesome. We drove out. All the other guys trucked out. We brought two trucks and two trailers because we're having a little car sort of...
exchange?
Yeah.
Swap?
Yeah, it's a little musical chairs with the cars, and we'll see if we can...
We attempted some buying and selling.
We attempted some buying and selling.
Nothing went to plan.
Nothing went to plan.
The rest of Monterey was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. So there's a lot of controversy, or not controversy, but there was a lot of trying to conjigger things so that I could race the car because I only own half the car, another company I borrowed money from owns the other half of the car, and they didn't want me to race the car because it was stipulated in the contract, and so we had to get Mark Gergis on the job and see if we could make everyone satisfied so that we could go out and run this car. And that drama was going when we left for Monterey on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, no, I got the final, email as you were suited up and getting into the car. Garagos was like, you're good to go. By the way, what would we have done if Garagos wasn't around to help at the last minute on a Saturday and a Sunday?
I don't...
And, like, midnight on a Friday night. Like, he was on the ball.
Yeah. No, yeah. Listen.
He was doing magic Garagos stuff.
If you want to get something done... Give it to somebody who's busy. I'm paraphrasing. You can figure that one out, Max Pata. But my members of my family have nothing on their plate. But if you said to them, hey, could you head down to Carpeteria up the street and pick up a couple of swatches for carpet samples so we could get the place redone? Yeah. Years would go by before they were able to pull that one off. And there'd be three big arguments, like, in the middle. There'd be, like, three blowouts in the middle where you asked them 6 months ago, and now you've changed your tone a little bit. And you've seen, like, my buddy Ray. Like, you see the people that don't have anything on their plate and how everything is just a bridge too far. And then there are the Mark Garagos's and the Jimmy Kimmels. And I try to explain to everyone, they're the busiest person on the planet. They're the last person you'd think to bother with some sort of nitpicky piece of whatever.
Yeah.
And they're also the best, fastest, and most efficient at knocking it off.
Yes. When you go into your day and you have a checklist of things, adding one more thing, like for me, isn't necessarily a big deal. But for a lot of people, it's when you're breaking into the to the planned nothing.
Right.
Like, if you have nothing and that's your plan, nobody wants to disturb that.
No, look, there's an interesting thing. Mark Garagos has 31 things to do every day. So if we add, figure out a way to get me to race this car, you know, legally, figure out how I can race this car going against the what stipulated in the contract, he now went from 31 things to do that day to 32 things to do that day. But it only represents 3% of a jump. It's a 3% thing. My mom has nothing to do all day, so you picking up a carpet swatch is 100%.
Yeah, it's a
disaster. To her agenda,
it's a disaster.
And that's a disaster.
Garagos has momentum when he picks up that task.
You're right.
Yeah, he did. Well, it was a silly little thing with a silly little contract that says you can't race a car. And all it would needed was a guy like Garagos bringing everybody to the table and going, don't worry about it, we'll cover it, let's do it. And everyone's like, okay. And it just needed, you know, that bringing the minds together and then getting a signature saying, we all agree.
Well, also, in terms of philosophies, what we didn't need is, oh man, we're screwed, it's stipulated in the contract, you can't race, so you can't race. What it did need is, look, rules were made to be broken. Let's figure this out. Here's the deal. He's going to race the car. Now, let's reverse engineer and figure out a way to make everyone happy. One thing we all know, he's racing the car.
Yeah.
Now, let's figure out how to make that work.
Yeah.
Which is the way you need to approach problems, not, woe is me, this is never going to happen, and all that.
So, yeah.
Thank God for Garagos. Mr. Wolf, I like to call him. So, we were heading out, and I was feeling, I don't know. I'm not a superstitious person, but sometimes I do see there's an irony in life, and I feel like you fought so hard to go drive this car. Wouldn't it be sort of poetic if it blew up or got badly damaged or something like that? Like it'd be a story that you would always tell, which is, I kept fighting and fighting and fighting and went out in practice and put it into the wall.
You never want to be the other end of the I told you so.
Right.
You know, like, you want to be able to be like, hey, I told you nothing would go wrong. You don't want to be on the other side.
Yeah, so I had some concerns, but I was also like, I know the track pretty well. The car seems to be fairly civil, and I'm just going to go out and run.
Yeah.
And I had another plan, which is, well, we'll go Thursday practice, one session morning,
which we did.
Friday practice, one session morning.
Did that.
Saturday, the Friday. Now, people want to know, especially Sonny, he was confused. How does, you know, they call it practice qualifying, and then you do another practice qualify, or maybe it's pretty much just a qualify race on Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
And so what's it mean? Well, it's like, look, you go out and practice on Thursday in no particular order. Then you go out Friday pretty much in no particular order, although they do figure out who the fast guys are and probably slide them up front a little bit, top load them a little bit. And then when you're done with Friday, you now have a qualifying place. When you go out Saturday, they grid you up Saturday morning as to how you qualified on Friday by time,
right.
I think, probably not by finishing place. Saturday morning is how you finish. It's not a timed lap thing. So I went out, like, I think it was like 26, came back, was 19th or something after the morning session on Saturday.
On Saturday morning.
Okay.
Which is technically what they call qualifying, but I see what you're saying. It's sort of loaded.
Friday's a qualifying, too, because it
sort of pre-grids the...
Yeah, how do they know how to line you up for Saturday unless they find out how you did on Friday?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, this isn't a test, but it is a test.
Yeah.
It is
they're a keeping test. An eye on times.
Well, it's not they're keeping an eye on it. It's Friday, sorry, Thursday is probably the only pure just practice.
Yeah, but I wouldn't tell some of those guys.
I know. Everything else is essentially a race to see what spot you start in.
Yeah.
Up until the race Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I get it. So, you know, you get a couple shots at it.
Right. So my plan was go out Thursday, nothing to prove, just get comfortable in the car, very concerned about heat in the tires, because I got an endless discussions from Leno and everyone else, which is, you know, they pretty much describe those cars like, and I think it's kind of a weird thing. Max Pata, what's wrong with people?
Oh,
they love to do this.
Go ahead and list everything.
they love to do this thing where it's like jokes get this way. You know, hey, eat Chinese food, and 2 hours later you're hungry, and everyone's like starts nodding their head and stuff. And I go, not my experience with Chinese food. I eat Chinese food. I eat a lot of Chinese food, and I'm not hungry because I get my fill, like rice and, you know, barbecued spare ribs and, you know, pork ribs and chow mein and everything. I go out and eat Chinese like I go out and eat, you know, barbecue. But everyone just kind of does this thing, and they nod, or they go, oh, man, they'll never ask for directions. And I go, I ask for directions all the time, every day, and so does almost every guy I know. But there's like weird little things, and they just kind of become things. And then everyone likes to, they sort of promote it by they just keep talking about it. So anyone who talks about that Porsche, especially 935, like, you're going into the corner, next thing you know, staring at the rear end of the car. Boom! Right around it, which I don't think you would be. I don't think it'd work that way.
I'd just be looking
at the whale tail all of a sudden going, wow. But Leno's like, oh, yeah, I drove one of those. You ever drive one? No, I never drove. You just go in a corner, boom, whips around, right around. That's how they work. And part of me is like, how could they have won so many races if that's how they were engineered, just to whip around?
They sound terrible.
But then they do this. No. Those guys know how to drive those cars. You don't know how to drive this car, and it's not a regular car. So for you, it's just going to whip around. For everyone else, they know what they're doing.
So you're automatically, you don't know how to drive it.
Well, when you hop into a 510 or even a Nissan Turbo car, whatever it is, nobody gives you a big speech about not knowing how to drive it.
Right.
When you get into a Porsche, a 911, especially a 935, you get a big speech about how you don't know how to drive this car. And what this car is going to do to you without you wanting it. You know, you're not going to permit it. It's going to do it to you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who tells all these stories or why.
I don't know. I don't feel like... I did hear that several times.
I don't feel
every
like I walk around to people and go, what do you got? Mustang. Ooh.
Yeah.
Well. Dream one before?
Yeah.
This is my... Oop. Oh, boy. Good luck out there. Like, I don't do that to people. I go, cool. Sounds good. And if they say, like, I've never driven the car before, I go, yeah, give it three laps, and I'm sure it'll feel like an old slipper after three laps. You'll be so comfortable. I don't go like, oh, boy. Woo! Who are these people? Like, what? I know Rob's one of those guys. I have the craziest relationship with Rob and Tom over at the other shop. I'm talking to Tom the other day, and it's like, I got T-boned, and now the insurance says it's my fault, even though I just got T-boned, and now they want $20,000, and I'm screwed. And I'm like, you just parked in your car, and some crazy lady without a driver's license, without insurance, just comes up, T-bones you, and you're at fault? And he's like, yeah, I'm just driving along in the left lane, just motoring along, and this chick hits me. And I'm like, wait a minute, Rob said you're parked. No. Tell Rob that. Rob, hold on. Rob told me three times you're just sitting in your car parked and somebody just slammed into you. No, I was in the left lane and I was going along Woodley Avenue and this chick came out of nowhere. And I'm like, I had to go back and like yell at Rob. Rob, what goes on? Like what goes on in your world that this is your conveyance of information? And how is it so wildly? How is it so distant from the truth and reality? Like Rob told me three times. See, here's how you always know the information's off. For the first month, it was Tom sitting in his car parked.
Yeah.
And he gets T-boned.
Yeah.
All right. Then I go, wait a minute. Then it goes to, now the insurance has ruled against him and said it was his fault. Now, those are two interesting pieces of information.
Yeah, yeah.
That can't both be true, because if you're just sitting in your car and somebody hits you, it'd be really tough for the insurance to pin that one on you, yeah, right?
You're saying it's in park. It's in park.
I don't know. So that then gets upgraded from, well, no, he was in his car. No, he was on the road, but he was stopped.
Okay.
So last time we talked, he was just parked in his car. Got to watch out when you use words like parked in the car versus stopped. I don't feel like I'm parked at a red light. I feel like I'm parked by the side of the road.
Right.
Stopped at a red light would be a word.
Yeah, stop at a red light or stop sign.
So it gets upgraded to him being stopped and the person T-boning him. But then when I went and talked to Tom and I said, I can't believe you're getting screwed by the insurance when you're just sitting there stopped it. And he's like, no, I wasn't stopped. I was driving right along. And I'm like, why is Rob telling me this? He's like, I have no idea. I just told him I was driving along and somebody T-boned me. Now, for Rob, it's a more interesting story to say you were just sitting there in your car, stopped. But I would say to Rob, as long as we're doing that with the information, why don't you just say you're at home, sleeping? Because that makes it even more her fault.
Either way, it's her fault. I'm pretty sure it's her fault.
Now it's Rob's fault because I was totally confused. And
well,
I was like,
never put Rob on the stand.
Now, the beauty of Rob is Rob goes, that's what Tom told me. Like, yeah. Why would Tom? So Tom was motoring along in the left lane, He was T-boned. But then the next day he came into work and said, I was parked in my car. Did somebody T-bone me? Somebody's insane here.
Don't go to Rob for the details.
I don't ask Rob anything. Rob says, did you hear what happened to Tom?
Oh,
and I go, no, I didn't hear what happened to Tom. He's sitting in his car. Some lady T-boned him. Now his ankle's broken.
Did you hear what happened to your fire suit? Well, I don't have it. That's what happened.
So, all right. So I decide we're going to go out Thursday. We're going to take it nice and slow. And there's 50 cars in the run group. It's a very crowded run group. And I go out, I would say, about last. I think that doesn't mean 35th. It means like 48th, 49th, or 50th. Like, I was at the very back of that group. So when I went out onto the track, you got to keep in mind, it takes a little while to get 50 cars down the, not starting on the track, but down the entrance road and get onto the track. When you do the race, you start on the track. But when you do the practice, you go down the entrance road and kind of start. Well, you always go down the entrance road. But what I'm saying is it takes 50 cars a while to get down there.
Yeah.
By the time I get out there as the 49th car, the dudes who went out 1 through 5 were inevitably the fast guys. They're basically first in line at the buffet are the fat guys. You know what I mean? Like, first in line to get on the track are the guys that want to go, and they're fast. They're coming around when I'm sort of
around that starting area.
Well, they're coming around every area. But what I'm saying is I'm getting out onto the track trying to scrub some heat into the tires, and these guys are now, they're racing at this point, and they're coming up behind you. Which is uncomfortable for your plan, which is I'm just going to take it slow and kind of get into it because nobody else is taking it slow.
They're
in this
not
group.
Taking it slow out there. That first 10 guys are on a mission.
During practice. So my plan is take it slow, get some heat in the tires, start getting used to the car, a little acclimated. By lap 4, you know, start getting into it a little bit.
Yeah.
And by lap 7 or 8, maybe start 9, 10, start turning some times.
Yeah.
That was my plan. It did not work out. I will explain to you why in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Onnit, man. Oh, you've heard me talk about Onnit before. Amazing supplements like Alpha Brain, Buffalo Meat Warrior Bars, MCT Oil. Onnit CEO Aubrey Marcus did a little take a knee with me. We talked about going from a college athlete to running a multi-million dollar health brand and when to abandon your dreams. Take a listen. What I'm trying to say to people, because we always do this, hey, you got to follow those dreams and you got to hang on to them. You got to shoot for the stars. You got to hang on to those dreams. Like I'm saying, no, you don't abandon those things. Just like you did in basketball, just like I did, believe it or not, in football, just like so many other, just like my son will do one day, he will abandon his dreams. So they filmed the whole thing and you can watch the entire podcast and behind the scenes mini doc free at onnit.com/Adam. Onnit. onnit.com/Adam. And also, while you're there, save 10% on your entire order. Get that MCT oil, man. I use that stuff every day. Just dump it in your coffee. And watch the Take a Knee episode free. onnit.com/Adam. So I get out there, and I'm like, wow, these guys are fast. And not only are they fast, but they're trying to go fast, you know? So yeah. I'll show you a little clip. I just told... I put together a 10-second clip of people passing me. But you can see how fast these guys pass you and how sort of, I guess it'd be intimidating would be the word. It's not confident. It doesn't build your confidence. You can go ahead and play it there, Chris. We'll put everything up at carcastshow.com. Just sailing past me.
Do you remember that race you used to have?
Yeah, I miss that baby. Now, the thing that's always funny about going, the thing that's funny about going half speed around the track, it kind of feels like you're going, when you're going half speed around the track or 60% around the track, it feels like you're going about 85%. Like it feels like, all right, I'm going slow, but I'm not going to go twice as fast as this. Like I'm going to go 10% faster than this. And then these guys are passing me 60%.
The adrenaline and the sound and everything just makes it just amplifies everything.
Right. You know? When I'm driving slowly around a track and somebody goes, you know, what can we do? I think, well, we could shave 5 seconds, but we're not going to shave 20 seconds.
Right. You weren't running around doing 5-minute lap times, and then you're going to go out and run 2.5 lap times. Like, it wasn't...
Right. So when the guys go sailing past you, just blowing your doors off, it does not instill you with confidence because you think, I could be trying harder and going faster, but not with... Nowhere near what these guys are up there.
They could be trying harder and going faster. And
no, they couldn't be. They are trying harder and going faster. That's the whole point.
Their practice session was not very practice-y. I mean, 2 laps into it, these guys were going.
They were flying.
The first handful of guys, at least.
They were on a mission.
When we got black flagged. And when they black flagged the session, and I guess it's from guys making contact or getting too aggressive or doing whatever it is, the session got black flagged. And they pulled us all back in onto the front grid, and they sort of waved the black flag at everybody. And then they said, all right, it was a timeout. Everyone got a timeout. Now, here's the deal.
The entire field got scolded.
Here's the thing.
I like that.
They run these things, and they run a tight ship, and they have 20-minute sessions. And if you're going to sit there getting a black flag pointed at you, you're still on the clock.
You don't get extra time.
You can go out there and get 10, 11 laps in, or you can go out there and get 3 laps in. Either way, you get 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You're on the clock. So it's not like, well, we get 10 laps no matter what, so yell all you want.
Yeah.
Then we went back out there, and Then we got black flagged again. And then we got black flagged again. They held us for a few minutes, and I was sort of like, I was thinking to myself, we're kind of up against it now. Like, we're probably at minute 17 or 18 now. Are they going to let us back on a third time after our second black flag?
Yeah.
A session.
The announcers were worried about that, too. They were thinking, like, okay, this is going to have to end.
It's going to have to end. So, meanwhile, all I've done was go around the track at half speed for three laps.
Confused. Why do we keep stopping? Why do we keep stopping? Like, what's going on?
And then the ultimate insult was at the end of the session. If you look at it, Chris, the end of the session before they wave us in, now they're like, at a certain point, they're like, nah, you got to, nah, come on in.
You're done here.
Everyone is going in, turning in. Now, I got Bruce Kenapa parked to my left about 15, 20 feet, like kind of waiting. And at a certain point, I get to the front of the line and the chick's pointing at me going, go. Turn in. But I'm like, I don't really know how to get back to Kenapa's camp, which is at the very end, far corner, like the furthest away. Our tent, from where I'm at right now, where our cars are parked, or paddocked, from where I am is as far away as you can get without still being within the confines of the
Our pit area was in the back of the field, basically.
So the chick is pointing at me like, go. And I'm looking at Bruce. I'm like, Bruce, go, because I'm going to follow you back to the thing. And he's just sitting there had to be the longest, like, 10 Mississippi in my life. And she just keeps, now I got everyone behind me.
Yeah.
And they're all fired up, and they're pissed, and I'm not going anywhere. And she keeps pointing and going, turn, you turn in. And I'm sitting there going, Bruce, see, if you look at it, Bruce is to the left. And he's looking like he wants to go in too, but he ain't going in. And now I'm pausing, like, go ahead, you go. And she's just looking at me going, go, why aren't you going? And I'm like, Bruce, you go. She keeps pointing and see her legs. You don't get to see her point. She's like, what are you doing?
And I'm
like,
Bruce finally went.
Yeah, yes. But it was a long pause for me of wanting him to go.
So because you were lost.
I don't know.
You didn't know how to get back. Well, kind of.
I don't know for sure how to get back. I have a rough idea of how to get back, but why not follow
the
guy
for a while?
Who owns the track and you're parked next to him? Why not let him go in front of you?
She was not having that.
We only saw her legs, but I saw urgency in that.
Apparently, Bruce wasn't having it for a minute either. He didn't really get what was going on.
I was like, why wouldn't you go? I'm not going. You go. Anyway, that was all part of the chaos. So we got nothing. And we went back in, and I essentially, Thursday was really just an exercise in getting into the car, getting belted into the car, starting the car, and driving out to the hot pits, and then taking it for a walk around the track, and then coming back. That was just like,
that's,
it was like
exactly
practice. It's like all the practice I got was, here's how the harness works, and here's where the paddock is.
You didn't even get enough heat in the tires to like make a difference.
Right. So that was a zero. And then Friday, well, the problem with Friday is now you're kind of racing. Now people are qualifying for a spot in the Saturday race. So now I'm kind of like, I got nothing out of that. I got no experience. I got no anything in that car. All I got out of it is there's a bunch of really fast, aggressive guys in this class.
And you know you have to pick up the pace. This is sort of a, whatever, pre-qualifier. And you saw that guys were running fast. One way or another, you got to pick up the pace.
You got to pick up the pace or you're going to get hit in the rear by a Deacon Monza that's racing with the Corvette or
a
935.
And very quickly, you're going to get lapped.
Right. So I then decide, so I got to say, like, it wasn't a great Thursday night for me because I was like, we accomplished nothing. I was going to get to my comfort level very quickly by the time I got 10 laps in and then go out and have fun Thursday night and then look forward to Friday morning when I could cut loose, except for now Friday morning felt like Thursday morning and I got nothing done.
I had fun Thursday night. Chris had fun Thursday night.
Did we watch Cliffhanger?
No, we watched Fast Five. We went to the Acura party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was good time. Jay was there for like a minute.
They revealed the ARX 05, which they said do not tweet about or post anything.
I'm still confused if we can talk about it or not. I think
They said until midday Friday.
Yeah.
I think noon Friday. The next
Sonny
day
was counting down the minutes, by the way.
Matt takes a photo and Adam out of the side of his mouth just goes, you tweet that.
At the party, you should tweet that.
So we had a good time. Leno showed up, didn't eat any free food, and then split.
He doesn't drink.
Amateur hour. Doesn't drink, doesn't eat free food, I guess.
Didn't grab a cigar on the way out.
Showed up with Maris's wife, who I had... Mavis's wife, who I had not maybe met on a time or two. Very lovely. Had a nice conversation. Then we ate free food. Then Friday, got into the car and started in the very back once again and was sitting there feeling like you don't belong. And I felt like Ralph Macchio when he wanted to go check out the Cobra Kai gym.
Yeah. You can't just walk in.
You didn't belong.
No.
You didn't belong.
You can't just walk in.
And Les was yelling, finish him, the whole time.
Sweet in my leg.
Into my driver's side window. So I was just sitting there. And while I was sitting in the back, not even gridded in the first 50 cars, they were doing a sign. I have not seen these signs in other years. They give you the 5-minute sign, 5 minutes. They'll blow like a whistle or something, 5 minutes, and everyone will kind of give a thumbs up. And then they'll give a 3-minute, which, of course, Rob, it's comical. Rob leans in and goes, 2 minutes. And I go, 2 minutes? Because they do five, and they go three, and it goes 2 minutes. And I'm like, 2 minutes? And I'm starting to think, like, my gloves aren't on or anything. And then I look up, and the chick's holding the three up. And I go, Rob, do you have to do that with everything? She's holding the three fingers. Like, oh, yeah, sorry, three.
Two, three, whatever.
He won't sleep until I don't sleep. That's his mission. Like, he has to panic me all the time. Like, I don't have anything buckled up or anything. He's like, 2 minutes. And I'm like, oh, crap. So, now, we're sitting in the car. Now, what they've done now is they start putting stuff on signs and walking them past all the drivers. I guess they
like
do
the
it.
Ring girls. Like the ring announcer
girls. Yeah, when you have 50 cars, you can't go in and kind of... In the past, like, I don't know if there's 18 cars, they'll just lean into the window and go, hey, man. But
you can make eye contact.
Now they're putting everything on a sign, and you have to give them a thumbs up. Like, I acknowledge your sign. I've seen the sign. The sign says, one sign says, no racing before the green flag. Like, get bunched up and look for the green. You don't get to just come out of the hairpin and be on it. You know, wait for the green. And then the other one, which I'll show you. You got a still of this one. This is... I had to stare at it for a second. It says oil T11-T4. And I went, huh? And I was like, oh, there's oil from the hairpin at the end of the straightaway, or the beginning of the straightaway, sorry. The turn 11 that leads you down the hill into the straightaway to turn 4, which is the right-hander after Kenepa's trailer and whatever. And it's like, that's half the track.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And what do you mean oil? There's oil?
I don't know.
So I'm now sitting there going, all right, Thursday was a complete disaster with no seat time because I'm worried about the tires and heat and sticking and not breaking loose and not be waving at the rear end of the car as it comes around to greet me.
Like, there's a dozen people going, do you know how to drive a Porsche?
Right, right.
Do you even know what you're doing?
And now we're ready to go out, and they're like, oil.
Oil.
Beginning of the track to the middle of the track. And I'm like, this is not what I'm looking for out of this. And they had a bunch of, you know, kitty litter and stuff down on the track and stuff.
Okay.
And I just kind of remember going, all right, well, now all I can do is sort of just do whatever the person in front of me is doing. Like, if they're sliding out, then I'll slide out.
Yeah.
But if they think it's good to go, then
find a guy you think you're confident in and follow his line. See what happens.
Yeah.
Eventually, that kitty litter is going to blow off the track. But let's see how effective it is.
So, went out on Friday, got into a little bit of a groove, started putting a little heating the tires and getting a little bit comfortable, and ended up, I think it was 26 out of 50 cars.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Which, you know, dead smack in the middle. And that was fine with me. I was satisfied getting out of the car, felt like I'd broke a sweat, you know, and felt like I'd understood the car a little bit. Didn't feel like I'd pushed it, to any limit.
Brought the car back in one piece despite the oil and everybody in your head and blah, blah, blah. It worked out great.
Yeah.
Was the amount of cars, did that affect you at all? Because, I mean, this is the biggest group I've ever seen you in.
I am used to running in this group or a group like it, and I'm used to, like, 42, 43, 44 cars. But then there's a little bit of attrition, and five or six cars break or get hurt or something. And so for the race, they'll start 37 or 38 cars. This race was 50 cars, and with the attrition, you're still at 45 cars or whatever.
It was definitely in the 40s in the actual race.
Whatever you're at. So, yeah, we got the grid sheet. It goes down to 36, but there's a second grid sheet.
There's more, yeah.
There's more. We don't need it, but there's more. There's a second. That's all you need to know is when you get down to 36 and there's still a second sheet, that's a lot of cars. All right.
Don't want to waste paper.
Gotcha. With the losers, man. Garage Boss, they ain't losers. New Reacher Height Adjustable Drain Pan gets right under your drain plug to prevent misses or splashes. Works with low-profile cars, cars on ramps, jacks, whatever you're putting them up on, trucks on the ground or on ramps or the jacks, whatever you use. Drain into a sealed container. All you clean up is the catch funnel. The pieces snap back into the drain container. It is very clean. It's simple. So much better than that weird gray black pan that sort of starts to taco when you pick it up under its own weight. And then starts to slash out the low part. You don't want that sloshing going on. Plus, I got a new line of crystal clear funnels. See what you pour in. Prevent overfilling. Make sure your funnel is completely clean before storing. All good stuff. All right. They have an exclusive deal over at AutoZone. You can go to AutoZone.com if you like, or check out the video at AutoZone.com. See about Garage Boss. Great guys. We use them over at our shop all day long. Go to GoGarageBoss.com and get all their products, because it's all just it makes it look like you know what you're doing. That's what I'm saying. You out there with a milk jug, that looks like amateur hour.
Yeah.
This looks like you know what you're doing. Garage Boss. All right. So, felt pretty comfortable, passed a couple of guys, and felt pretty good. There was a yellow flag, and a car spun out, a BMW Pro car spun out right at the beginning of the corkscrew. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw a BMW hit the dirt, but not necessarily in the location
out,
where
Max Paddle showed you. He spun out like he was saying, I'm going to use my car to prevent people from going through the corkscrew.
Oh, for the Pro car.
Yeah,
and
the BMW Pro car.
In one of the practice sessions,
yeah.
One of the Batmobile cars hit the dirt and spun, and then he went back on.
That was in the race. He did that as well, one of the Batmobiles, and then went back on. In the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This guy.
I didn't remember if it was practice or race.
You
but
saw
I saw it.
It.
I was
you saw
it. It was like right in front of the Rolex.
Well, you saw it on TV on the race.
Yeah, that's it. We did see it there.
So this guy was BMW Pro car, which I love, M1, but he was taking up as much of the. It's literally like you couldn't position him in a way that would take up more. You'd have to drive around more to get through the corkscrew.
And you don't know if he's going to move forward or not. And.
Right.
Trying to get to the high side.
He came out of nowhere, too, because I'll show you the video, Adam, of you first discovering him. You were trying to tell another car to pass behind you, and then you go over the hill, and you see that BMW. You both have to kind of, like, react.
I don't even remember that. There's a lot of adrenaline. The sessions get sort of bleed into each other a little bit. And so you go, did that happen in this session or that session or at the beginning of the track or the end of the track or whatever it is? So we're racing. I'm telling these guys to check up because I'm seeing a yellow flag. I'm seeing it. So I saw the yellow flag and told the guy to check up.
Yeah.
But he went past me. He didn't see the yellow flag.
And then he backed off.
All right. The other thing, and I'm so bad at this. God, it happens to me all the time. I got to figure this one out. Do they do, look this one up. They do full course yellows and they do local yellows, right?
Yeah.
And I screw myself every time. Now, when they do a full course yellow, sometimes they hold up two yellow flags, which okay. is always like full course. And then the other times it's just a yellow flag and you go, well, how do you know if it's full course or if it's, well, you go and you see, are there other yellow flags? And I do this every time. It happened to me in practice, I think. You come down the hill and you, it was either the race or the practice. I can't remember now. You come down the hill. I think it was the practice, but I can't remember. You come down the hill and I had that Porsche, a couple of fast Porsche guys, as kind of guys up my ass, and I see the yellow flag coming down the hill going into the straightaway. So I see the yellow flag and I check up a little bit, like, okay.
Right.
And then as we come out of the corner onto the straightaway, I'm still checked up, and the guy behind me sees no yellow flags down the straightaway. Like, it only works on certain spots on the course. Like, that's one of the few ones that will work that way.
Yeah.
Where you can't see around the corner, so you just go, oh, we're under a full course, whatever. It's my fault. You couldn't do it in the middle of the track because you could see down the track and go, there's no more yellows yeah. over there. But this one particular spot, you're coming down the hill, and they're waving a yellow on the inside of this tight corner, and you go, okay, all right, okay, all right, let me see. And then you go round the corner, and you go, what's going on here? And a guy goes flying past you, and it's like, oh, there are no more yellows.
He must have a radio.
Ooh.
Maybe there's radios.
It's a good call. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing, I mean, I don't know, every race is different, like on the internet, just saying, but twin yellow is full course. And then
yeah,
single yellow's road course.
Whatever they said in the right. driver's meeting.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Adam was there.
Yeah. So anyway, now we get to race day. And I'm 19th. And we got the guy in the Sunoco RSR Donahue car, who I've labeled as possible trouble. Like, listen, wherever you are in life, please profile. You owe it to yourself to profile. And when you do a bunch of laps and you see a guy, the telltale thing is you're coming way down the long hill into mm-hmm. turn 11, going on to the straightaway, and you're behind a group of guys, and you see the one guy dart hard left, then poof of smoke comes out of one of his rear tires,
yeah.
and then he slides back over again.
Up a break.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going for a balls out move yeah. on the beginning of this, even though it's practice or qualifying, whatever. Uh-oh, I'm not going to make it. Lock the brake, and then slide back onto the thing. And then the next lap, you see the exact same thing. Like, that guy's going to try again.
Yeah.
It's going hard. So the guy in the Sunoco was in front of
me. The blue yeah. Porsche.
Yeah. And there that guy was a little aggressive.
Yeah.
And
it's vintage racing.
Before the race, we went down to qualify. I thought I passed him in qualifying, but maybe I didn't. I'll have to look into that one of these days. But so I couldn't remember. Anyway,
could have passed on a light yellow.
I now look over to my right, and he just gridded right next to me. And he just sort of like looks at me and goes, take it easy on me, man. He starts laughing. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So when the race began, he was just right next to me. And you could see from the first lap, he was pretty all over the place, which I don't mind. It just means it doesn't instill gobs of confidence
right.
in you.
Yeah.
Like,
well, at least you know what his intentions were early on. He was going to go for it.
He was going to go for it.
Yeah.
I knew he was going for it. And because we came around the hairpin, or we came around turn 11 to start the race, I was in first gear to start the race. I was not in second gear yet. So we got a 3-minute. Well, we'll just show you the, we'll just put the video up there. Just get to the race part, I guess, Chris. You can skip ahead a minute or something in the thing, and you guys can go to carcastshow.com if you want to check it out. It gives you a good feel. Chris did a real nice job of putting it together after I yelled at him to put it together right. And you can see the Sunoco guy is to my right.
What number of car is that guy? Do we know?
That's a very historic car. That's a Donahue Sunoco RSR. But anyway, you can go ahead and roll it if you want, Chris. I was just sitting next to the guy going, all right. It's a big field. Everyone comes around real slow. And you'll see him in first gear, and third gear started to give out a little. Also, the guy in the Sunoco car, if you watch, he puts his hand out the window at the beginning of the race. It does something weird. If you show the beginning of the race, the guy... When the other guy in the Porsche RSR, whatever, like kind of gives him a little, hey, make room for daddy move.
Yeah.
The guy's hand comes out the window. Like, hey, what the
hey,
fuck?
What's going on?
What's going on? Hey. It's the beginning of the race. It's a great move. You got to isolate
I'm
it, Chris.
I'm driving here. You love
it. It's like you're stuck in traffic and some guy honks at you and you go, no way, hey. For me. Except for it's the beginning of the race. Just take his hand off the steering wheel. I was looking at the tape going, did he just put his hand out the window?
Yeah.
I'm not sure because it's so loud and the guy's passing him by. But you can tell me. I'll tell you about Geico, man. Everyone's got the to-do list. Oh, yeah. Drop off the dry cleaning. Pick up the milk over there. How about you add this to your things to-do list? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and don't have to leave the house. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Get yourself an exhaust system for your RSR. How about that, man? Geico.com. That's Geico.com.
Yeah.
All right, you tell me if that, go give it a little head, please, Chris. When the Porsche kind of swings in on him a little, like kind of gets a little bit close, there's a RSR, that's good. Sorry.
Is this even lap one, or you're driving?
This is the beginning of the show. This is the beginning of the race.
Yeah.
The race has started. He swung in on him a little. The RSR guy swung out, and his hand went out the window. Like, hey, give me a break over here.
What are you doing?
I don't think the guy in the other Porsche could have seen him, really. That's why I wear white gloves, because my hand is out the window. I want people to see it.
Like, where do they drop the green? Is he saying, hey, you can't get ahead of me because the green hasn't dropped yet? Or is he?
The race has started. This is the beginning of the race. Yeah, we're racing.
Right around turn 11, I think everyone just starts going.
Okay.
You got to wrap your mind around the reality that the race, go run it back and just put the sound into it. We're racing. That's the part that makes it interesting. I like it. Don't get me wrong. Here, go ahead and watch.
Film
that it looks like you're 4 feet away,
yeah.
you're a foot away. turbo 935. I'm not making any ground up on any of these naturally aspirated inline six cars in my group, which is saying to me I'm just not making the horsepower that I need to make.
Yeah.
At that point, we turned the boost up.
It didn't really do much. We knew the motor was a little tired, needed some rings, getting a little blow by on the heads, but you wanted to get it out there, wanted to race it, get a good feel for it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll show the car a little bit, maybe take the engine out at some point.
All in all, a great weekend. There's always going to be some ups and some downs, but a great weekend. Chris Max Pata, wonderful job whacking everything together.
Thank you for taking me along, as usual. It's the best week of the year.
It is.
And there's a lot more to talk about. There's the Quail and Pebble and all that. We'll have to do some of that next week.
Yeah. And Acura and Alfa Romeo and McGuire's and JMPR and BMW and Rolls-Royce. We've got to think of all them.
All those guys.
And I'll tell you what. Yeah, we'll break this into two parts. We'll tell you all about Sonny and his tooth and watching Sylvester Stallone and the Quail and all the free shrimp and all that.
How many oysters?
Oh, 45.
You ate 45 oysters.
Well, I ate 40 at the Quail, and then they had more at the Porsche party later that night.
Well, it's kind of like Tale of the Dragon, right? Yeah. Whatever.
It was on an ice sculpture. I've never done that.
It's Hair of the Dog.
Whatever.
Tale of the Dragon.
I'm not a big oyster eater. maybe it's the Asian version.
All right. So, till next time. Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying, oh, you know what? I should tell you guys... Yeah, I should tell you, live shows, doing stand-up shows, Saturday, September 23rd, Park West in Chicago. Thursday, on the October 5th, that's a live podcast, Irvine. And then Friday, doing another live one. Oh, sorry, that's a stand-up show. That's October 13th, Music Hall in Minneapolis, and then Polk Theater in Nashville. That's Saturday the 14th. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Find out all live dates and get yourself some swag, especially those buck slips. I just love those. Go to chassis, chassy.com for the 24-hour war and winning and the bug movie. And,
go back and watch this race clip. Go watch this 3.5-minute video of the Porsche going around the track up at carcastshow.com. It's on YouTube as well, but it's cool to see. Definitely check
it out. It's fun. It gives you a real good feeling of just what the vibe is.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. You want to get a visual for this one.
Shift and Steer, that's Matt's podcast. Yeah. Subscribe now, Podcast One. And Carolla Drinks, man, let's not forget it. We got the Endless Rant. We got the Mangria. Lynette's running the show over there, doing a bang-up job. Say hi to her. Check out the website, carcastshow.com. Click through our Amazon banner. And, next time you got to buy the Catback system, click through us when you go to Amazon and spread the love around, man. So until next time, I'm from Matt the Motor, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. Carcast is a Carolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.